Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina Yisrael from another edition of the Yehuda Project. As we do every week, I want to give everyone a chance to call in on the line. I'm going to play a song for you, and I hope you like it. All right, here we go.
Multi-dimensional. I'm a lazy and unexpected sound. The rest is yours.
The sweetest thing I've ever known was like the kiss on a collarbone. The soft caress of happiness. The way you are. Your style of dress. I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, oh. Ooh, baby, just to hear you speak makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen. How sad, it's so sad. How sad that all things
All right. It looks like we have another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to get my co-host on the line. Hold on just a minute. And we're going to get Brother Donia on the line. Are you there, Brother Donia?
Shalom. This is Donia from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, listen to that. There you go. All right. It's good to have him on the line. Also, we want to welcome everybody being on the line today. We have another edition of the Yehuda Project. What's going on right now is we're putting together some information for the march that's taking place November the 1st, 2013, in Washington, D.C. So, Brother Donia, you got all of your information together and you ready to go, it seems like.
I'm ready to go.
I was on a conference call this afternoon that was absolutely inspiring. I wanted to let everyone know that they're having a major call going on right now. A historian has put together some very vital information, and they're having a very important meeting in Washington, D.C. after the march. They're going to be meeting at the hotel to get some more information together. So it seems like this is getting ready to go into a whole other area, which is very, very good, and I think that it's great. Brother Donia, is the government still shut down?
As far as I know, it's still shut down. I was wondering if we're going to have the march on the 1st if it's still shut down.
Well, I did call and I talked to Capitol Police and they said that we were good to go. Now, we haven't been in touch with the National Park Police or the Metropolitan Police, so I will definitely be on the phone with them first thing in the morning to make sure that we get all of our information straightened out and go from there. But as far as I know, we're still good.
Oh, okay. That's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I am too. I'm getting excited. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting event. A lot of people say, well, what's the point? You know, they've already done it. We've already marched before. And my response to that is we don't have anything to do with what somebody else has already done. You know, what we have to do is what we're supposed to be obedient in doing. And we're going as a nation. We're going unified. And we're going to let the people know who we are that are around in that area and to give solution to the problem because we have the answer. And if nobody steps up to the plate and gives the answer, then everybody will think that the answers will come from the politicians, and they don't have the ability to give the answers. We do. So that's the purpose for the march. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's correct. You're absolutely right.
You know, we have the ability to give the answers, you know, and we've got to stop watching our people spin themselves around by the tail and hope for the best when the Bible clearly spells out through prophecy everything that's supposed to take place, and it's happening right before our eyes whether we want to accept it or not. You know, so I just wanted to, you know, touch base on that because a lot of people were leaving America. They were trying to leave America October the 1st because it was supposed to be the beginning of Obamacare, and there was a lot of people that were leaving the country, but as they began to go to Canada, they have the health care plan in Canada. I know they have it in England because it's called the National Health Plan, and when I lived over there, a lot of the British people had the National Health Plan, and they were very dissatisfied with it. So for you all that are listening under the sound of my voice, if you have the ability to get private insurance for your job, this is the time to do that. Because the Obamacare insurance is not what it's cracked up to be.
No, go ahead.
So I just want to let everybody know that. I just wanted to just talk to for a few minutes and give some people a little bit more time to get on the line because I know a lot of them are on a conference call right now talking to the historian about some information that he has that's very vital to our existence here in America. So, you know, how's your week been going?
My week has been fine. You know, I would have liked to heard something about that conference call. I'm always interested in what's going on in the world today and what's happening with Israel. So, anytime that you get some information, please call me and let me know, and I'll attend. That's my
Yeah, I absolutely will. I want everybody to know the chat line is open as well. This is what I know as far as what I know. I can only tell you the information that I know. This is a gentleman who his family is, he said his family is one of the oldest families in history that is still alive, and that he has documentation to prove that the Israelites were here on American soil way before America became a nation.
Okay.
And he has a treaty. He has an actual treaty that's been signed by King Charles II, which gave his family rights to certain areas, like he's in Atlanta. I know he lives in Atlanta, South Carolina, Louisiana, and certain areas, from what I understand from the conversation, that he has actual access to, and that it was given to them under a treaty before America was actually formed. He is not considered to be a U.S. citizen. He is a sovereign citizen because of the treaty that was given to him through his family lineage. So he actually has this treaty in his possession. He is actually going to be at the march in Washington, D.C. He is marching with us. And there were several Morays and chiefs and Kohanes on the line from all over the country, and they were astounded at the fact that he has documentation, and they're all coming to the march on the 1st because they're going to have a sit down and I guess a powwow to kind of put all the minds together as to what the next step would be in terms of this man is actually born a sovereign. He did not have to change any name, any paperwork. He did not have to submit anything. Because of his family heritage, he was born a sovereign. He could not be under the Constitution of the United States. So, I mean, it was a very interesting conversation today. And like I said, they're still on the call right now, and we're going to give them a chance to do whatever it is they're doing. But they were very adamant about coming together, sitting down, and going over this paperwork with him because, from what I understand, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not really sure about a lot of this information. I mean, this is some information that came across to me also because of my lineage being from the house of King David, that Solomon's treasures were here and sent to the Americas, and that Christopher Columbus came here in search of Solomon's treasures.
Okay.
So that also came up in the conversation. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting, and I think from my understanding, his family has an actual coat of arms, that they are, he is a part of nobility, and I really want to sit down with him when we get the opportunity to really talk and share some information as to, you know, our family lineage and things like that, but that's exactly what it was about today, and it was very interesting. So, like I said, Washington, D.C. is going to bring about a lot of different things are going to be happening. And people are responding from the Hebrew community, and they're actually going to be there. So I think that, you know, it's a very powerful endeavor that we're about to embark upon, and I'm really looking forward, you know, to the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and actually stand on the grounds of the Capitol building. So as soon as I know more, and I'm sure they're going to be talking a lot more after today, I will definitely plug you in, Brother Adonia, so that you can be a part of it, because there was a lot of people on the call this morning.
Totally.
A lot of people.
You know, this is the fruits of your labor. You understand? Isn't it? Isn't it part of what you had in mind?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It absolutely is. Absolutely.
You understand? You know what they say? They say when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear.
That's right. That's what it says. That is
you
exactly.
Understand? So here, you understand, you set all of this up. Well, you and quite a few other people, I'm sure, you understand, set this up. And I used to hear you, you know, talk about, well, what about the elders and what about the people who are renowned folks? You understand? When they going to jump on board? Mm-hmm. Now you're getting it.
I'm getting it. Yes, sir. It's exciting. It is exciting. They're coming. It is. I kind of got overwhelmed today. Like, wow, you know, this is really happening. I mean, you know, this is some big boy stuff we getting ready to do here. You know, and the fact that, you know, he's coming and they're coming and you're coming and we're just all gonna come together and do what it is we do and get an opportunity to to spread some of the knowledge around in that area and let people know who we are and give them the solution and blow the shofar and proclaim that Israel is waking up and Israel is in the land is a powerful thing.
That is correct. And I'm so proud of you. I'm telling you, you're doing a magnificent job. You understand? And without you putting forth all the efforts that you did, and you know, this could never have happened. You understand? We've been going off into doing something else. But then again, you understand, we're talking about the Almighty. See, he's going to make this happen anyway. You understand?
Yes,
you know,
yes,
man, you know, just like people sitting on the fence. You understand, standing in the middle of the road and bringing up those if, ands, buts, and maybes, you understand, if they don't never get there, it's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Peter
said, you understand, so we, you know, you. I'm proud of you, I really am. I'm elated, overwhelmed.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you even asked me. You called me, you know, I think it was Kavar that called me and told me about getting involved here and et cetera, you understand? But I'm sure that, you know, all of y'all was part of it, you understand? And I'm glad to be a part of it. I really am, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see, I like the direction that you're going, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting back, nothing, I ain't never been part of that. I was telling my sister, man, I'm for anybody that's ready to do something. We already know the scriptures, you understand?
Right.
We know how to conduct ourselves as Hebrew Israelites as the children of Yah. You understand? Now we got to find out how to get out this mess.
That's right. And, you know, I look at it like this. And, ladies and gentlemen that are under the sound of my voice, we're going to get to the topic at hand. You know, we're just giving, like I said, other people a chance to call in that are on the actual conference call. But, you know, I look at it like this. You know, the important thing about it all is unity, you know, because We don't have the same beliefs. We don't believe the same thing. But at the end of the day, we know we brothers and sisters by blood, and that is the key that it's going to take. And it's going to take love and understanding to bring everything together, because we're not going to build on hate, and we're not going to build on distrust. We're going to build on the fact that we have the same bloodline, and those are the things that are important for us to know what we have to do and how we have to go about doing it. So it's a beautiful thing to see all of this stuff coming together, and it's a beautiful thing that we've been in contact with the historical black colleges and universities all over the country. They've called. We've talked to the dean of students. We're expecting a great turnout from the kids that are coming from all over the country. There's a big possibility that Howard University will also be our press conference. They will cover the whole media portion of it, and we're going to have press conferences and interviews, and they're going to video everything. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's coming together, you know, slowly but surely we have it coming together. And the biggest thing is that people believe in it. And what I wanted to say is to the people that are listening is that we thank everybody that's sending money in. People are emailing me, you know, I sent money in. Did you receive it? I'm sending another installment in. Did you get it? We hope this will help us just a little. And that's when you know the Most High is in it. And we say thank you to everybody that's been promoting us with finances. And we still need more. And so I'm not going to sit back and act like we have it all. We have to get a sound system. We have to get a stage. We have to get a podium. And that is going to come up to about $400. So we're asking everybody that can afford to please donate. Go to PayPal. Don't mail it in because it's too close to the time now. We need everybody, and if you want to mail it in, push one and let me know, and I'll give you an address where you can mail it. We can get it right away because it's time now. We're at the wire, and we're getting everything together. So I'm excited. I am. I'm excited about Washington, D.C., because it's a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Really?
I knew it was going to happen. I know that we could do this because we're the same people that have been in every captivity under the sun, you understand? And guess what?
Yes, sir.
We made it through. You understand?
We made it.
You understand? We, you know, in this society here, you understand? Before they decided to get rid of us, this is what they're trying to do right now. Before they started to get rid of us, we was all up in the government. We was all in the. We've been in every industry. and mm-hmm. know it from the top to the bottom. So there's no yeah. reason why we can't do something for ourselves. I just
That's
don't
right.
get that.
That's right.
You understand?
Right. And guess what? It doesn't. And if we start to do for ourselves, it doesn't mean that it changes our captivity, because we're
no.
still in captivity. We're still where we are, but it does say that at the end of the day, if we need to feed ourselves, we will be able to. And that doesn't change anything. But the fear that people have is they think that we're trying to change prophecy, and we're not. No man can. Because the scripture says no man can save us out of this condition. It has to be the most the Almighty that's going to save us out. But at the end, it doesn't say that we can't prepare. It
that is correct.
It doesn't say that we can't make sure that we feed ourselves. It doesn't say that we have to just lay down and die. And for the people who really believe that, those are the people that are rolling up their sleeves saying, how can I help? I have something to contribute. What do you need us to do? And that's what we want.
That is correct. We got to take charge of our own destiny while we can. Because I was on the internet the other week, you understand? This week, you understand? And I'm on Power Talk, and they have different African Afrocentric stuff on there. And the brother made mention that a third of the population is going to perish in the day of the Almighty's great wrath. And there's not
yeah.
going to be enough people to bury them. You understand?
No,
so
see, the birds are going to eat them.
Yes, that is correct. The birds of the fields and the beasts of the birds of the sky and the beasts of the fields, because there's not going to be enough people to bear. It's going to be a horrendous a thing that's going to happen here in America. And the reason why it's going to be so terrible in America, because this is not supposed to rise no more in the existence of the world.
That's right. That's right.
Imagine
if
just he
right.
just. A little bit of area. That means they can build back up. You understand? You know, that's not going to happen. We're not going to go through
right.
this no more.
No, never no more. And that is the part. And I'm glad you brought me to that point, because I pulled up a clip, and we're good for clips. And you know what we're getting ready to do? I think this is going to be the last week for our clips. We're getting ready to start inviting professional guests onto the show. And so that we can get, this is where we're going. And I have to say this. In all sincerity, it's time to let you know what they're planning. Because a lot of Israelites are getting comfortable with where they are, and it's time for us to let you know what they're planning. Because
and it don't include
how
us.
Serious this is? No. And no, it includes the annihilation of us. And when
oh,
you understand
yeah.
how intricately planned everything is and how well put together their plan is, it makes you realize that it's time to get serious. You know, we can say it until we turn blue in the face. But, you know, the biggest thing is we have to make sure people understand that this is really going to be serious. This is pretty serious. So, you know, we're asking everybody to pay attention. I want you to hear this clip that I'm about to play and what's going on in our government today. Here we go.
Diagnosis. To the global star what their real plan is. Because the globalists have been so arrogant and thought they had everything cinched up. They've been very public in white papers about why they put fluoride in the water to give us cancer and sterilize us, why they teach 2 + 2 = 5 to shatter any type of mental acuity or being able to judge reality. Kind of like it was declassified on Monday that the CIA for 60 years has been funding deviant art. They started out with just Pollock that are splash painting things, which I think is good art. But to just change the idea of what good art was with new art to get people thinking, so not so that they would expand their awakening and their understanding, but so they could then be brought over into truly mentally ill and deviant art in the future. It's kind of like a fish hook has a piece of meat on it or a good worm that tastes good, like a pollock, to then get you to shift over out of classical art so they can bring you down the road towards the hook. That is the incredibly degenerate stuff we see on television, the sexualization of children, everything, because they need to mentally screw you up so you have no morals so that they can do whatever they want and you will accept it. Kind of like they're saying they can do backroom abortions, that an auto mechanic can do abortions now in California. That's not a law. Somebody's got a Roto-Rooter, they can do it, and they call that a right. They call that a human right. But if I try to open up a dental office without a degree and rip teeth out, I'll be arrested, and I should be. But now, if you want to just again, have anybody. Anybody can do an abortion in California. This is the lawlessness of these people, as long as it's anti-life. But the New York Times calls it availability of abortions. No, they just legalized non-medical abortions is what they did. Hell, the coat hanger cost you 10 cents. There you go. So that's what's happening out in California. And they know how to make it look normal and good and like a fun idea. Shifting gears, Google's Chrome cache exposed your personal data. Like everything Google puts out, it's got backdoors for them to use the data. So these aren't security flaws. These are features of the NSA privately owned hacker groups that run Google, the black hat hackers, par excellence, that are gang raping your privacy.
All right, what do you guys think about that? I mean, you know, when you think about the morality of our country and where we're going and how everybody, you know, because really when you look at the moral status of our people, it's gone in the toilet. It's gone. Because everything's going now. I mean, you're seeing stuff on TV now that, you know, when I was coming up was forbidden. You just didn't see it.
They're doing
all kind of stuff. I mean, it, like I said last week, it's the moral decay and the breakdown of the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're on our way. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know what, Yaina, I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime. I don't think, you know, the change is going to take place in our lifetime. And you know what? As much as I don't want to admit that, you know, the more I look at it and the more it's going in the toilet, I just don't know. I just really don't know. I can't say yay or nay on the situation because everything's happening so fast.
Well, you know what?
Everything's happening fast.
Yeah. See, even though it might not happen in our lifetime, what about our children? What about setting something up for our children, you understand, so that they won't have to go through as much pain as we're going to have to go through if we don't do nothing, you understand? That was my main concern here, is that I know that I ain't going to live to be 125 years old and still be kicking it. You understand? So my children have to have something that they can grasp hold to and take it further than I could take it. You understand? So that is our main. Even though it may not happen in our lifetime, it's going to happen. That's just like the train coming down the road. You understand? And the curse is already set in motion. You understand? And if we don't make some move, do something to get out the way, you understand, then that train going to run right on over us and take everybody that don't do nothing right on down the road with these folks, you understand? They don't have a plan. They don't have anything. And if they do have a plan, it does not include us. Hallelujah.
Oh, well. And you know what the sad part about it is? Obama's not finished. Obama, irregardless to what the American people dislike or like about him, Barack Hussein Obama is not finished. When he leaves the White House, I want you to pay attention to where he's going next. Pay attention to where this clip, play real close attention to what this man has to say. And when we finish, I know you know who he is by his voice, but when we finish, I want you to pay attention because Obama's not finished. Now listen, here we go.
Aaron and I are standing here on the floor now with former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, who was here ringing the bell, commemorating 30 years of U.S.-China relations, which of course were made possible by the hard work that Secretary Kissinger did while serving under President Nixon. We welcome you, sir. Thank you very much for being here.
Good to be here.
The obvious first question is the situation in Gaza. What is an area of the world you have worked very hard on? What is your view? How serious is this?
We have to remember Israel withdrew from Gaza unconditionally in 2005, and they are reacting to rocket attacks that have been launched out of Gaza. So the problem is, can those rocket attacks be stopped? And then they will have to stop their military operations. It's a complicated situation, but it's one that I believe will be solved, because if Egypt to give out in the Middle East, Israel has to take its responsibility, but the moderate Arab nations have to take responsibility for the conduct of Israel's neighbors.
Do you believe that this is a, some people say that rocket and everything will stop a few days before the Obama inauguration, that this is all very politically motivated? Do you think that's true?
I think it's a continuing process. The fundamental problem is in Gaza protect itself in a way that it is not a military threat to Israel, then there will have to be a negotiation eventually, and soon, between Israel and the Palestinians about an overall peace effort.
What do you think the most important thing is for Barack Obama? Obviously, you're here to talk about the anniversary for U.S.-China diplomatic relations, but if you had to say this is going to be the country or the conflict or the place that will define the Obama administration, what would it be?
It's a president elect coming to office at a moment when there are upheavals in many parts of the world simultaneously. There will be a Pakistan. That you have the jihadist movement. So he can really say that it's one problem, that it's the most important one. But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity that it is a crisis.
Very confident about the people President Obama has chosen to surround him because he does not have a great deal of experience.
He has appointed an extraordinarily able group of people in both the international and financial
fields. Mr. Secretary, we thank you very much for your time.
Did you all hear that? Did you hear that, brother Tony?
I couldn't understand him, really.
He said that Obama administration is important and it's creating, it's an opportunity for him to create a new world order.
Oh, yes. I see. Oh,
and
yeah.
That came from the lips of Henry Kissinger. Now, this was in 2009. And now we fast forward ahead in 2013, and look at the upheaval that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to Google it, you can Google it. Henry Kissinger, Obama, and the New World Order. He says it right then that is what his administration is all about, and that is to bring forth the New World Order.
Yep.
And that's what's happening right now. Right before our eyes, this is what is happening.
That is correct.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of people are really against this thing, and this thing may get real ugly before it's all over because I don't know how long the American people are going to sit back and not get paid.
I kind of mentioned that, you know, that once they close down these government programs, man, we have to have something in place. You
yes,
understand?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Because we're going to be hurting if we don't. You understand?
Yes,
even
sir.
The conscious Israelites are going to suffer. You understand? If we got to entreat the Almighty to grant us favor, you understand, in our endeavors, and our endeavors have to be Torah minded. We have to do everything in the name of the Almighty, and He will show us favor. You understand? As long as we sit back on our thumbs. On our fists and ride back on our thumbs, you understand, and don't do nothing, we're going to suffer a wrath. Once we understand that what we have to do and move towards that, you know, that gives us hope. You understand that we are a part of something that is going to change our destiny. We have to be the people to change our destiny. You understand? Isaiah, it reads in the 10th chapter, you understand, how the destruction decree, that was the decree that made by the Almighty to destroy, you understand, will be overturned by righteousness. We are the people of righteousness. We got to bring righteousness back into the earth. You understand? Righteousness is supposed to shine from us like a glow. You understand? On how we reestablished the United Nation of Israel. You understand? How we put things in place so that we could sustain ourselves in that great destruction. And so it's the ball is in our court now. All the other nations have, all the other peoples, the Christians, the Muslims, you understand, and anybody else, those radical, the Black Panthers, all of those people put things in motion, but it didn't work because peace is not in the earth. If it was going to work, it would have worked because they had the numbers. You understand, and everything. If it was about numbers, then we should have peace. But it's not. It wasn't for them. It was for us to do in this day and time, right now, today. Is the ball is in our court? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to say to everybody, because we have a lot of people on the line. If you have a question, or you want to make a comment, or you just want to just talk, just push one. I mean, because we, you know, Adoni and I are talking among ourselves. But we do want to hear what you have to say. And like I said, we have a lot of people from Cincinnati on the line, and I think that's great. And we got some Florida people and some Atlanta people. And I think all of that's great, Virginia and Texas, you know, and all of those things are great. But, you know, we don't have the show every week for everybody just to listen. We want to engage. We want to talk. We want to hear what you have to say. Even if it's on another topic, you can change the topic if you want. We just want you to start talking so we can start dialoguing, because that's what this is all about. For us to come together and us to be able to talk to each other and us to be able to make things known in terms of what we're doing. Now, I want to let you know how some of the white people feel about Obama, because they are really they're irate. So I want you to check this out. Listen to this clip right here. Here we go.
Formidable best to expose and document the apparently limitless corruption of the federal government and to pursue accountability through the courts. Mr. Fitton is author of the Corruption Chronicles, Obama's Big Secrecy, Big Corruption, and Big Government. We're privileged to have Mr. Tom Fitton join us today. Tom, welcome to the program. Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit seeking the public release of Osama bin Laden's death photos. What was the outcome of that lawsuit?
Well, unfortunately, it's been unsuccessful thus far. The Obama administration is taking the extraordinary view that laws requiring access to information don't apply if the information, in their view, might upset the terrorists. And that's literally what we're being told. And unfortunately, the courts are buying into this radical reinterpretation and rewriting of the Freedom of Information Act, which is the federal open records law that requires the government to turn over information about what it's up to.
Now, those photos are reportedly gruesome and disturbing. Why do you think it's important that they are available to the public?
Well, some are gruesome and disturbing, or at least that's what we're being told. They're probably no more gruesome than, you know, for instance, the video just last week of that terrible murder in London. Some of the photos, though, are not gruesome at all. You know, some of them depict the funeral of Osama bin Laden on the naval ship in the Indian Ocean, I believe. So they're just having a broad approach to exempting and prohibiting and censoring this material from being released to the American people.
Now, the killing of Osama bin Laden played a pretty significant role in President Obama's reelection campaign. Does this help explain the administration's reaction to the Benghazi attack?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The court, the appellate court that upheld the lower court decision that's denying us access during the oral argument said, well, you know, the Benghazi video caused these attacks in Libya. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's no surprise to me in some ways that a court that is so misinformed, respectfully, was willing to come up with a decision that really undermine the freedom of information and, in effect, give terrorists veto power over our right to know.
Now, from your perspective, what are the most outrageous aspects of the Obama administration's behavior regarding the Benghazi incident, which is...
Going back to Benghazi, I mean, that's a scandal in and of itself. And here we have the administration knowing, well, there are two aspects of it. Their behavior related to the attack itself. Was the president derelict? Was the State Department derelict and the other national security team? Was the Pentagon derelict in denying all the security and support necessary either before the attack and then in the middle of the attack in a way that may have saved lives? And then secondly, then you have the cover-up. They knew immediately it was a terrorist attack, yet they lied again and again and again. And I say lied repeatedly because that's how many Ambassador Rice went on five television programs that one Sunday saying the internet video was responsible for the attack rather than Al-Qaeda.
Now the Benghazi, what exactly happened with Benghazi?
I didn't understand. Say that again. What did you say?
I said, what exactly happened with the Benghazi attack?
What happened was they had a consulate over there, United States council or something that they had that they set up in all the countries, and they overran that place and set it on fire and killed one of the ambassadors, but. The Congress was supposed to have let go some money. That's those Republicans to fund these places that didn't have enough people to watch over, you know, keep an eye on what's going on in that particular region in Benghazi. Benghazi, I think, is in the Middle East. I'm sure it is, and so they want to blame Obama for that particular, for what had happened because it wasn't fortified with enough troops. But the Congress is not saying that they didn't let go the money to give them support. You understand? But they're doing anything that they possibly can to get that man out of office, or so that he will have a bad rap. You understand, in office. They can say all of these things transpired under Obama's administration. You know, they don't want him to have a good legacy. You understand? It's a mess. What they're doing, this is a distraction of what the truth is. The truth
That's right. Don't have
any kind of solution for what's going on. The United States done did so much evil all over the world. You understand? Everybody is waking up to their stuff. You understand? And so they throw up this distraction. You understand, about Obama and this and that and other, but they ain't come up with no solution. I haven't heard nobody say, "Well, this is what we're going to do." As a United Nations, I don't align myself with the United States. I'm here accepting whatever benefits that it's going to get me until we decide what we're going to do for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, do you think that the nation, in your opinion, do you feel like the nation is crumbling, or do you feel like that it will be able to spring back from the condition that it's in, or do you feel like that the clock has started and prophecy, and we're full-fledged in prophecy, and everything's about to go forward?
Well, everything is about to go forward, you understand? The Almighty has put this in motion, you understand? See, there is no bounce back. America his name is mud all over the country. You made mention of it last week. That every time they put a black man in position, it's almost going out the door. They hoping that he can bounce back, and if he don't bounce back in the way that they want him to bounce back, then they're going to make his name mud. You understand what I'm saying? And these are just distractions keeping us from focusing on what's really happening. The resources and what they call that, what you said is about the New World Order. They're trying to implement that as fast as they possibly can. Bush, Senior Bush, what's his name? The father of George Bush. You understand? He talked about the New World Order when he was when he was president. You understand? So it didn't happen then, but they're trying to get that euro in. You understand? They're trying to crash this dollar so they can put the euro in. You know, that New World Order, that singular, one government run the whole earth. You understand? And if you really take a hard look at this here, it's those so-called Jews is behind everything. You understand? Now, let me say that again. Those so-called Jews is behind everything that's going on. You understand? They started World War II. They started World War. They started World War I, they started World War II, they got the United States involved in all of those wars. You understand? They had a president, what's his name, right up the Balfour document stating that they have the right to Israel, you understand? The English guy, one of them English guys had wrote up this document stating that the Balfour documents stating that the Jews have those so-called Jews have the right to Israel, but them people didn't even have no control over Israel at that particular time. Nobody had control over Israel at that particular time. You know, it's really a story. You understand? And when we look back on it, you understand, these are the things that we're going to have to put up to write on the walls of the on the entrance of our city. We're going to have to put all of this stuff down that had happened, that transpired. That's where we're going to get our history book from, all of those stories on that wall. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's very interesting, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because they are actually attacking the IRS to take a listen.
Attack and the lies and cover up associated with it. Now, there's another scandal brewing, and it's become pretty clear that the IRS was targeting Obama's political opponents in Ohio, a key swing state. During the 2012 election, the agency officials responsible for this have either been promoted, allowed to retire with full pensions, or actually taken refuge behind the Fifth Amendment. What can be done, if anything, to hold those agents of the IRS accountable, and then ultimately perhaps the President of the United States?
Now, what they're saying is that they went against the Tea Party. That's basically what they're saying, and that somebody has to do something about the fact that they actually went against those that were in the Tea Party, and that the IRS, the guys who did it, were able to get away with it, and nothing was done to them. So basically what they're saying is that President-elect Obama has his own group of thugs that are running his business and doing what he wants to do to be able to make this new world order come to pass. And my issue is this: it really affects us, but it doesn't, because the biggest thing that we've been saying through this whole radio show and spending money month after month after month to make sure this radio show comes on is that we need to come together as a nation. And we can keep watching it on the news and letting them feed us blue skies and apple pies and all kinds of television shows to make sure that to make us believe that things are normal, but things are not normal, people. I don't care what anybody says. It is not a normal environment that we're in right now. It's not normal.
That is true. Yeah. You understand? You know, and you're talking right, you understand, about us gathering ourselves, because if we don't do that, then what we do here is we agree with what they say is all right. If we don't do nothing, you understand? If we don't do nothing, then we're saying, oh, it's all right, you understand? The Almighty gonna come and get us, and or we gonna sit on the fence, and we gonna go either way, you understand? we're not even taking in account that our children have to live after us. And if we don't set nothing up, you understand, what are they going to do? They crying out right now for some change. They have not seen anything that was going to that's going to help the children or bring about any kind of change. We have to be the change. If there's going to be a change, we have to make the change. The change is the change that we need to make got to come from us. You understand? Because if we got a problem, then we can solve our problems. We can't look to the government, the taxes, and all of that stuff. You know, it's a shame, but all of those people that got those little IRSs and money in the bank, they gonna get pennies on a dollar for their money. That's a sad, sad thing. All that money that they put forth, you understand, put out, saved up for their retirement. I was just reading something on the internet right here. Is that people is it would be better for them to retire out of the country?
Wow.
At least they can carry some of their money. You understand? More than you know, they'll take if they take their money out the bank now. You understand? And retire in another country. This country is going down faster than we can imagine. Hallelujah.
It sure is. It sure is. I mean. Somebody had told me last week that China and India are buying up city blocks in Chicago. They buying up city blocks full of houses. And like you said, you know, when the dollar hits the bottom, it's over. It's not going to be worth. And, you know, a lot of people are investing in real estate and everything. But to be honest with you, I don't know if I would invest in too much real estate here because, you know, a lot of people are renting through Section 8. All those programs and stuff is getting ready to be over with. And if people don't have jobs, how are they going to pay rent?
That is correct. That is correct. You know, I'm all over the news all the time. I listen to CNN. They got a CNN program that talks about how, I mean, all the other countries. We don't get that kind of news from CNN. They got a special station, 206, I think it is, and it talks about all the other countries. Now, in France, they got some construction crews. They suffering, too. And they got some construction crews. They only work part-time, you understand? And they have built up some buildings. They can't make no money off them buildings because they got people that's living on the street that they have to give them apartments to or them buildings to, you understand? So they not making no money. You understand? Mm-hmm. You know, their government is falling apart too. You understand? Mm-hmm. So goes the United States, so goes the world. So goes Israel, so goes the world, I want to say. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm telling y'all, check this out. Listen. Check this out. They are buying up Detroit like it's nobody's business. I'm telling you. I mean, when this kind of stuff happens, you got to know something's going on. Something's happening, and it's some scary stuff. I'm telling you. And you know what? We have our money and stuff caught up in this country.
The real estate collapse that contributed to Detroit's bankruptcy has left the city with a huge and growing stock of abandoned houses and commercial properties, some of which have remained unsold even when the asking price is a single dollar. This makes the embattled Motor City a bargain hunter's paradise, but few Americans appear interested in buying. However, according to the New York Times, dozens of Chinese companies are beginning to snap up Detroit area properties and establishing operations in the area. Fox News reports that after Detroit filed for bankruptcy on July the 18th, Motor City Property has been a hot topic on China's social media platform, Weibo. News of the bankruptcy, coupled with a Chinese TV report in March that claimed you could buy two houses in Detroit for the same price as a pair of leather shoes, has piqued investors' interest.
Juan Carlos Chavez was a member of the Customs and Border Protection Agency's Trusted Traveler Program.
Hey, what do you think about that?
They won't let us buy no buildings like that.
they say they selling them for a dollar and don't nobody want them. $1 in Detroit. Buildings. Now, we're not talking about houses. We're talking about commercial buildings. They're selling for $1 and nobody wants them.
Well, we need to go down there and buy a couple of them buildings and start putting Israelites in them buildings. You understand? You know? And we need to support everything that we can do that's going to sustain our living. That's what we need to do. If they got them buildings down there for a dollar. I had said this a long time ago when they had this thing out about Detroit. Is that Detroit?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we should make that our home state and build that up ourselves. Reestablish that. That's what I had said a long time ago. You understand? That time when they had that song about Detroit is burning. I think Gil Scott-Heron had that song out about Detroit is burning. And I suggested that we need to do that, build that place up. But we don't need to do that. You understand? What we need to do is start figuring out how we can sustain our living. You understand? We know that we eat regular. You understand? And those that are not eating regular, they need to really jump on this bandwagon and find out how we can sustain our living. After this place falls down and there's no more food stamps, no more Social Security, you understand? We got to have something to lean on. You understand? During the time of Moses, man, they put blood around the doors, and those people that put blood around the doors, they was hidden from all the destruction that happened in Egypt. You understand? And I don't know how the Almighty intends to hide us, but I know that He said He would once we gather ourselves. You understand? Once we come to we find out that we need to do this. That is our destiny. Hallelujah.
But can you imagine we are living in America and the cities and states are owned by China? Not the products that we're importing in. The cities are owned by another country. Hold on. Check this one out right here. This is city.
Mm-hmm.
17 minutes past half of the hour. Well, is it like a fire sale on American interests? China buying up U.S. companies on the cheap, and we're still stuck paying interest on money that we're borrowing from the communist country in the first place. The latest Massachusetts battery maker, A123 Systems, which is to close, well, it's being done in a deal unless regulators step in. Stu Varney's here to explain. Is it A123 or A123?
A123.
A123. Okay, so it went bankrupt.
It did. It went bankrupt. It's in bankruptcy court. The bankruptcy court judge holds an auction. A Chinese company wins the auction, bids, I think it was $256 million for A123, okay? China's got the money. That's the bottom line here. China's got the money. We've spent all of ours. And China is now buying up American assets like this battery company. The problem here is we, the taxpayer, we have subsidized A123. We pumped in $132 million. That was a grant. We gave it to this outfit, which is now bankrupt. And China's picking up the pieces dirt cheap. Now, the ball actually is now in President Obama's court.
Why?
There is a committee which decides whether or not a foreign company can buy an American company. On what grounds do they wish to buy? Is it in our national interest to sell to a Chinese company? So Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary, he heads that committee. He basically organizes that committee. And he will decide, are we going to sell this dirt cheap to China or not?
Well, but what do you think he's going to do? Because, oh, by the way, we kind of need China, don't we? They buy and give us, or they loan us a bunch of money.
I think he will sell it.
Yeah.
I think
and is that good or bad for America?
That's a very difficult question to answer. Do we want to sell our assets that we have subsidized cheap to China? This is a green energy company. This is a central part of President Obama's green energy policy. It failed.
Did you see the report this morning? Sorry to throw you because we didn't talk about it before, but did you see by 2030 America's not going to be the superpower that it has always been?
I have seen that before, yes, the economic superpower. Well, look, we are spending so much more than we're taking in, and we're borrowing the deficit largely from China. They recycle the money and buy our assets cheap. Are we happy with this? Obviously not. But the ball's in Obama's court. Are you going to do this or not?
All right. Very well explained, very simply. And that's why you're the star of your own show.
Yeah, but this is very unpopular. There's outrage about this.
Yep.
America on a fire sale, being bought cheap by people are not happy with this, believe me.
Well, you're going to be talking about it on your show. 9:20 a.m.
Warren, oh. What do you say? Y'all think this is it? Brother Donut, is this it? I mean, they put all this stuff up like it ain't nobody's business. I mean, this is some, I have never seen this in the, I know that there are corporation takeovers, and I know that Japan has come in and bought a lot of different companies, and Japan owns the car dealership Toyota, and they have this kind of stuff. But they're buying up city blocks, and they're buying up American companies on the cheap, and we're bankrupt, and we don't have anything going on. It sounds like this is it.
That is. It's on its way out. You understand? She just said that America is never going to be the superpower that it was. And now here we are. We caught in the middle. You understand? Because if them Chinese people come over here, you understand, we sure going to get into those internment camps, because that's what it's going to be set up for. They ain't going to want all of us running around loose, screaming and howling and carrying on, because they afraid that we might band with some other nation, you understand, and overrun them. Same thing happened in Egypt. You understand? That's why all of those kids, that's why they took all of these kids and turned them around and took the parents out the house, the father out the house, you understand, put dope in our neighborhood so that took all the jobs, then gave us dope, you understand, and now they tell everybody, you understand, that it's our fault. But they didn't leave us no alternative. Our alternative was sell dope or die. So they know what they was doing. And we have the true and living creator of all things behind us. You understand? He is our salvation. You understand? So we have to count on the Almighty to save us. Hallelujah.
So China now is a communist country, because China is communist from the last
that
time
is
you checked, right? It is a communist country. And then they're coming over into this country and buying up property. And she said there's a report out that says by 2030, America will not be a superpower anymore, that it will be gone in terms of a superpower. And it is now 2013, going on 14. You know, it's just kind of scary when you just sit back and you just look at it all, like, you know, what's really happening here, people?
I want to tell you this here. It's not scary to those that don't that are connected to this society. You understand? Because if it was scary, then they would be looking for a way out of this mess. I'm talking about our people. You understand? They're not afraid. Just think back and sitting back and thinking that the Almighty just gonna poof and everything gonna be all right. I don't think that's gonna happen.
That's what these shows are about. This is what this is about. If you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1, because we want to hear what you have to say. You know, because when you sit around and you watch it and it's slowly dissipating, I mean, the handwriting is on the wall. Unless a miracle happens and something pop up and somebody pop up with some more money from somewhere, the handwriting is on the wall. Now, not only are they buying cities and they're buying companies, but this clip here says that they're buying states. They're actually purchasing states, not just cities, but states. We got some serious issues jumping off here. Well, let me see how much of this they say, whether they said in the first 3 or 4 minutes about Idaho, because they said that China, communist China, the U.S. state of Idaho. Hold on, let me see. Here we go.
Well, I don't know. New World Order, just around the corner. Oh, by the way, I'm recording this right in the process of the Bilderberg meeting in Switzerland. The Bilderberg meeting. And that's, you want to believe in a conspiracy theory, believe in that one. Okay? Here are all these heads of state, bankers,
businessmen, media moguls, you name it. Google's probably there. Others are there. They're all meeting in a secret compound. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what they're talking about. But they're talking about something. So watch between now and the next 6 to 8 months or whatever. Watch the news. Watch what's good. Kind of put this in the back of your mind. Here all these people are having a meeting. Are they are more than likely talking about bringing the countries closer together, consolidating the banking, monitoring the internet more, a little bit more facial recognition software everywhere. It'll probably be on your own camera at some point. Who knows? But just kind of watch for things like this, because this is the kind of stuff that gets discussed at the Bilderberg meeting. I wonder if they're talking about China. I think they should be, and I'm going to talk about China for a little bit. Several of you sent me this article and a series of articles that goes with it, and I was alarmed. Idaho to be first Chinese state. Governor Butch Otter, in league with the notorious Marxist Barack Hussein Obama, this is his words, by the way, have hatched a plan to make Idaho the first Chinese-owned state in America. Otter and company have named this Project 60. There's a six there. Sounds innocent enough until you realize that Otter and his minions are afraid to call it what it is: globalization of America and surrender of sovereignty. He's right on this. If it were called that, someone may want to charge Otter with sedition. Under Barack Hussein Obama, it has become increasingly difficult to do business in America unless you are from a foreign nation. Idaho, under the stewardship of Governor Butch Otter, has opened the door for a Chinese invasion wherein the sovereignty of Idaho and America will be sodomized by all parties involved. He goes on to say, Project 60 takes advantage of a federal program that grants federal programs. This is something your congressman, your president, and everybody else agreed to and said, we think this is a good idea, okay? Remember, Timothy Geithner is going around the world constantly begging all these other nations, including China. Hillary Clinton went over there herself, begging these nations, including China, and especially China, not to call the loans that are out on this country, not to pull them and say, okay, you know, pay up right now, begging them not to do that, begging them to keep the dollar stable. When the American worker and the American people are no longer capable, either by our own actions, and it is by our own actions, our own actions or the actions of our politicians, when we're no longer able to sustain our own economy, somebody else is going to come in and take over. Mark it down. I'm going to show you some Bible on this, okay? You need to see this. So anyway, it's a federal program that grants permanent residency to foreign nationals, in this case, Chinese. This program comes with special tax exemptions to the foreign firms moving here. American companies do not get the tax exemptions. So much for the Constitution and equal protection. Idaho is struggling financially, and it is widely known that America is broke, so why tax breaks for the Chinese? China wants to limit its exposure to America's debt. China needs to maintain its trade deficit so it does not collapse like a house of cards. In order to accomplish this, China must unload currency and excess dollars. Buying Idaho is a good way to accomplish this, but do not worry. China is looking to buying Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania as well. China will not allow its currency to become stronger, so it must eliminate some of America's IOUs. What better way to do this than buy America? Top Idaho officials have been traveling to China and entertaining the Chinese here in order to help facilitate this. Idaho is a resource-rich state, and Chinese know it, and as does Obama, who keeps snatching Idaho land. Otter, Obama, and the attack on business in America paves the way for China to own us. A Chinese firm is building a fertilizer plant in America Falls, Idaho. Ironic. China has bought 50 square miles of land south of Boise, 30,000 acres of Idaho gone to foreign nationals. Governor Otter says this will help reinvigorate our American industrial base.
Man, oh, man. Did you hear that? I mean, how plain does it not be? Do you realize that if they buy, you know what, that is so against the Constitution of, how are they letting China come in and buy states?
One thing I'm going to, you know, These guys is liars, thieves, and murderers. You understand? They don't adhere to any constitution. That's just paper. You understand? It might have looked good in the beginning, you understand, but today that don't mean nothing. They don't hear anything from you. They don't hear anything that the masses have to say. They do what they think they want to do. You understand? They're all about big business. And if you don't have big business, then they don't care nothing about what you say, period. You understand? They going to do what they want to do. This is not about them establishing any keeping the country going. This is about big business. They sent all the jobs out of the country, manufacturing jobs to China, to Korea, and all of those countries. Right now, if you go to Walmart or any one of those other places, you couldn't find an American-made product. You understand? So this has been going on for a while, and we have to start stepping away from this society and start taking care of our own.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. You know we got to become sovereign now. Mm-hmm.
They got a plan, and it does not include us, period.
Mm-mm. So will we be considered the property of China if they own the state, or will we still be considered U.S. citizens? Because how can China be a part of the state of the United States of America when China is a communist country? So if it buys Idaho, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, then do you people understand what's going on here? I mean, if we don't get our sovereignty together right now, and everybody say, well, what difference do it make? If China owns the state, then who are you under? What jurisdiction are you under?
We're going to be under the Chinese people. You understand? We wasn't given no freedom when they wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. That was just some stuff so that they could sell us to the next government, or to sell the owners of us, who were the slave owners. You understand? Sold our paperwork to the government, and that's called a straw man, I guess. You understand? They sold us, so we didn't become free. They just said we were emancipated. That's just a play on words. Anybody that comes over here that takes over this country, we belong to them.
And now you can understand why everybody's talking about sovereignty. Now you can understand why the Most High is telling us to build a nation. Now you can understand why we need to do what we're doing, because it looks like it's still the same. But from what we listen to right now, it's not the same. I mean, this is really some serious stuff. I'm at a loss. Wow. Wow. I mean,
I know it sounds strange to other folks, man, because in actuality, most people, black folks I'm talking about, because I don't know about them white folks, man. I ain't never been white, so I don't know what they thinking. You understand? But most of us, you understand, are going along with the go along. You understand? They don't have any. They don't have a plan. You understand? So they're going along with the government, thinking the government's going to bail us out. You understand? In some fashion or form or fashion.
Mm-mm.
But they don't have no plan.
And they come up against us every chance they get. And you know what? And if you don't stop coming up against us and starting to come with us, you're going to find out one day, you're going to wake up one morning, and instead of the police of your area, you're going to have Chinese police in your state, because China is a communist country. They are, man, this is some serious stuff. Hold on, check this.
Check this out. Day for the people in the city of Stockton, California, because members of their city council, they're going to be in federal court for the first time since filing for bankruptcy. That is right. The city is broke, in debt, wants protection from the creditors. And here's the important part. Stockton, California, it is the biggest city in American history to file for bankruptcy. I want to talk about this with Clyde Anderson. He's a financial expert who's following this story very closely. Clyde, good to see you. And in person here, of course. Yeah. I want our viewers to take a look at the cities that have filed for bankruptcy, this map that we have here. They're all over the country. We're talking about New England, the Deep South, now the 300,000 population, the city of Stockton, California. So tell us what happened, first of all, in Stockton.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You know, I hate to call it the perfect storm, but it's a bad situation because what happened is mismanagement of funds. You had an economy that just went awry. You had the housing market that bust. And a lot of people, you know, they put a lot of investment on the boom of the housing market. So Stockton was going to be the place where it was kind of that suburb of San Francisco. People were going to go to it. It was going to boom. They spent a lot of money on new entertainment venues. They built a new city hall. They did all these investments, and they used bonds to buy them, but they didn't pay off.
So what happens now that this city is bankrupt? What does that mean for the people who live there?
Basically what it means is they're cutting pensions. They've already cut a lot of the police force. They've cut a lot of the fire department. A lot of the city workers have lost jobs. So now what happens when you cut pensions is people that have retired that were promised pensions for the rest of their retirement now lose that. And so now you have a lot of people without health care, without health benefits, and without the pension. And so now you also have crime on the rise because we've cut the police and we've cut the fire. So it's a situation where people are worried now about their protection. Are we going to be safe here in the city? And then
right.
You've got the housing situation that's there.
So if you were in a city and you suspected that your city,
yes.
Your town is not doing well, it potentially could go bankrupt, would there be anything that you could do to actually protect yourself?
Well, I mean, I think right now the thing is to be prepared. Read all the information. You know, we can't get away from politics as far as once we elect people, just let them be and do what they do. We've got to kind of oversee that. So now the situation is you need to be on tap with what's going on, constantly know what's going on, and also for the people that are losing some of their health benefits, they need to find new insurance. They need to find what they're going to do now going forward, make sure their jobs are secure, and see what type of services are going to be cut from this point. But it's not a lot as I can do as a citizen because I didn't make the situation.
Is there any upside to bankruptcy?
Well, I mean, it's an upside for the city because it's getting out of a lot of the debt that was there. You know, a lot of those pension accounts that they got into and to get people to come to the city to say that, you know, we're going to give you pension for life and we're going to give you all these health benefits. Now they're getting out of a lot of these debts that they had, unsecured debt especially. And so it's going to help them to be able to rebuild and restructure. Can they come back? Yes. But in the meantime, how long is that going to take? And how is it going to affect the citizens that are already there, people that can't sell their homes? You know, it's a big foreclosure. This has been the foreclosure capital, Stockton has labeled, because, again, it rolled the boom of the housing market and everyone's going
to
move.
Could this happen to many of the cities, do you think?
Oh, it can. It definitely. We've seen you show where it's happened in the past. And now with the whole, again, the mix of what's going on in the economy, everything.
All right, you guys, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, they're going to get pennies on a dollar, you understand, all that retirement money, you understand. Ooh, it's going to be ugly, and we're going to be upset when we try to get that money, our retirement money and IRAs, all of that money ain't going to be worth a damn. Ooh-wee. It's just a sad thing is that, we had an opportunity here. This is our opportunity here to establish ourselves. All the other nations had their opportunity. All of those, not nations, let's say, but all of those entities, the churches and the Muslims and everything, they could not do it because it wasn't for them to do. Righteousness has to stem from us as Hebrew Israelites. You understand? That's how that's going to work. It says in Isaiah, you understand, that the destruction decree will be overturned by righteousness. And that's who we are. We the people of righteousness. And the opportunity is now.
Brother Tony, they not listening. Can you hear me? They're not listening. The Hebrews are not. Do they understand that China owns a lot of cities in a communist country owns, they're buying states. Not just cities, not companies, but states. She said that they're traveling around the country, traveling around the world, trying to convince China not to call in on the debt, to keep the American dollar strong, and to do that, they are selling off states in the United States of America. So if we're in one of the states where China has bought, I'm just confused. I'm confused. I mean, when you...
I understand. You know.
And guess what? And we've been saying, come up under the nation of Yehuda, come up under the United Nation of Israel, you're going to have to run into the nation of Israel. You're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do that. And now you're looking, either you're going to do that or you might be a citizen of the communist country of China, because China is not going to buy something and not run it. So they're not going to buy the state of Ohio and not run Ohio the way they want Ohio to be ran. Man, this is getting serious.
Yes, it is.
This is getting real serious right here.
It would be funny if it wasn't.
Oh, my goodness. This has done went to a whole nother level, some stuff that we didn't even realize that's going on, that China is buying up states in America.
Yep.
It is
our duty.
The United States.
It is our duty. See, if we come together, the Almighty will show us favor. He will not allow any one of those nations to come up with anything and prevail over us, because we'll be under the protection of the Almighty. If we are not under that protection, then we don't have no protection, because these people don't care nothing about us. You understand?
Ooh,
we're going to be the next Chinese slave.
We can't be nobody else's slave. Now, we've already been the slave. You mean we got to be the slave to the Chinese, too? That's too much. I mean, for real, that's just too much. It's too much. Do you know?
You know what I'm looking at? I hear most people, man, they're talking about. I was listening to some people from Israel, and
man,
they
I'm
said that
my
curse.
Huh?
They said that the curse was over.
They crazy, man. They don't even know what's going on. How the curse over and they getting welfare in Israel? Come on now. The curse ain't over. Come on.
I'm telling you what the guy said. You understand? I really wanted to rebuke that, you know, but I understand. See, I understand that the Almighty will give us what we need. He will allow us to give us the understanding that we need. You understand? You know, right now we're all over the place, man. You know, we got a page of paper, a sheet of white paper, and we all over that paper. You understand? We ain't got nothing that's running together at any given time. You understand? So the Almighty will straighten all of that out. Our only job is that we come together as a nation. You understand? That's our only job. You understand? We don't have.
You ain't gonna have no choice. They ain't gonna have no choice, because if China buying up the state, and we are. Let me tell y'all. If for all of you all that don't know, that when you're born into a state, you're a part of that state, and that state owns you basically. And
that is
why we've been telling everybody to get sovereign, give up your paperwork, turn in your papers, become a sovereign citizen, relinquish yourself from this. Because if China owns the state, China is a communist country. Man, I'm gone. I'm telling you. You know, I hate to be like this, but this is serious. Let's see what they say. Let me play this clip for you. Listen to this. Check this out.
The interview, Steve.
Hey, Scott, thanks for the half hour of your show. Really appreciate it.
Bet.
I am here with an all-star. I'm calling it an all-star trifecta. We have Senator Alan Simpson, we have Erskine Bowles, and Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs. We're going to talk deficit. We're going to go inside Washington and inside Wall Street for just about as long as they're willing to stay. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Erskine, I want to start with you. You made a comment before we came on that said they didn't talk about the fiscal cliff or Social Security in the presidential debate. What does that tell you about the state of discussion about the issue of the deficit and the entitlement problems in this country?
People are never going to understand how critical this particular time in history is. We have $7.7 trillion dollars worth of economic events that are going to hit America in the gut in December. And in Washington, they're doing nothing about it. Nothing about it. We should be asking these guys running for president and every guy running for Congress, what are you going to do? What kind of steps are you going to take? You know, if we do nothing next year, you'll have the rate of growth slow to somewhere about like 3 to 5%. You'll have unemployment go up another 2% to around above 9%, and too many more people will lose their jobs. And we're doing nothing about it. I can't imagine it happening to Goldman Sachs.
When you look at the horizon, what's coming, view of the economy, how serious is the fiscal cliff, and how seriously do you hear Washington taking the issue?
Well, I think it's very serious. I think the candidates know how serious it is. I think they're trying to avoid it. It may be in part because it is so consequential and serious, and maybe that the ideas that would have to be put forward will be unattractive to some people. Obviously, we're in a position where new discipline is going to have to be imposed. People are going to be disappointed in the consequences, so I think they're going to avoid it. It takes a lot of courage to take on these issues, and I think it's up to the media to really enforce this onto the candidates at this point.
You just threw it back at me, basically.
Well, I think frankly, you could also say for the people who are the most aware of the consequences, namely people like ourselves, who are advisors to companies who have to live in the economy, we sure know what the consequence will be, and it will be awful.
Senator, if you were in a position now to be advising both candidates, what would you have them say now about the deficit, particularly in light, there's a vice presidential debate this evening. What would you like to hear from them?
Well, I think you'd want to tell them what $1 trillion is. I know it's a silly exercise. Just say, well, let me tell you something about us, this country. If you spend $1 a second, you wouldn't hit $1 trillion for 32,500 years. And if you spend $1 million a day since the birth of Christ, you wouldn't be at $1 trillion. And the Big Bang theory of the universe happened 13,600,000,000 years ago. That ain't even close to $1 trillion. And we owe 16 of those babies. So start thinking, and then you're going to borrow $3,600,000,000 a day, every day. You're going to do that today, tomorrow. Every buck you spend, you borrow 41 cents. And I would say, well, one of you let a peep out of yourself of what you're going to do about that and to restore the solvency of Social Security without letting the AARP tear your leg off or Grover Norquist on the other side rip the other leg.
I want to stick with you, Senator. Is your criticism equal for both parties? Is one of them worse?
No, you bet. They're both in this. They worship the god of re-election. They're figuring out all that and how to duck every hot issue before November 6th. And then Erskine says the whirlpool of $7 trillion going to hit us like a rainstorm.
You know, what I'd say here, the fiscal cliff is obviously an important issue. If we don't get through this moment, you know, there's going to be just a lot. It'd just be horrible. And what else I'm going to say may not even matter in the long run. But assuming we get through the fiscal cliff, we have to get our budget on a sustainable path where it's predictable. In other words, we may get through the fiscal cliff by deferring it or by having something where in the long run it's not sustainable because our budget deficit will keep growing wider and wider, in which case the people who have to make decisions won't regard it as a real long-term solution. What we really need to do is fix the economy of the United States on a sustainable basis so there's some predictability, so people don't stand on the sidelines, and so they go and invest, and so jobs get created, and other people come.
Let me stop you right there. Sure. Are you hearing from clients when you look at what's happening right now in the economy, in the book of business that you guys see every day? Are people standing on the sidelines? Is it something that's affecting the economy right now?
Oh, absolutely. The fiscal cliff specifically is one of the major ways in which the slow recovery that we have could be completely derailed. You know, hard landing in China, euro collapsing, problems in the Middle East, and fiscal cliff is probably paramount in that area.
We just met with a dozen of the largest high-tech company CEOs in the country 2 days ago. And they said, look, not only are they hoarding cash, but all of our customers, all of our suppliers are, because they are scared to death that we're going to go over this cliff and it could be a catastrophe afterwards.
Let's just stick with you, Erskine. The Christian Bowles is not in and of itself going to solve the fiscal cliff problem. That is not the solution. If they enacted, I mean, they can't enact Simpson Bowles tomorrow, could they?
Let me just tell you what the fiscal cliff is. It's the expiration of the Bush tax cuts. It's the expiration of the payroll tax. It's the expiration of a patch that's been put over the AMT so it wouldn't hit the middle class. And it's the mindless, senseless, across-the-board cuts that were put forth as a part of a sequester, which came about because of the failure of the super committee. Every one of those issues is addressed in a long-term fashion so it doesn't disrupt a very fragile economic recovery in Simpson Bowles.
just take it from a different direction. Some people respond to fear and some people respond to opportunity. Take it from the other side. What if we came up with a situation tomorrow, you opened up the newspaper, and there was some conciliation, there was some agreement. It may not be everything that one side would want, somewhere in the middle, maybe even closer to the extreme that you didn't like, but there was some compromise that was laid out. What kind of a stimulus do you think that would provide?
Tell me what was your answer to that question.
Huge. Think of all the
money. How much would the market go up on that? What?
I can't see. The market is a separate person. I'd be a buyer of the market.
At
Goldman Sachs would invest, we're not only advisors, we're a company ourselves. We would be assuming that our business would grow, that companies would be making more acquisitions, making more investments, that we would be doing more financings, and we would have to get the people on to make sure that we were able to provide those advice.
And that's their opinion. But, I mean, look at what they're saying about our country and where we are with the dollar. They said by 2014, if we don't stop, we're going to be in a major depression.
Yep. And that's you know, that's going to be the catalyst to getting people on board with us establishing ourselves. Because in the time of Moses, you understand, the peoples didn't have the faith. They just went along with Moses because the punishment was so harsh, you understand, they just wanted to get out of there, you understand. But you know that they didn't have no faith in Yah, and the faith in the Creator is because they murmured like I don't know what, man. You know, they said they should have stayed in Egypt. You understand? So it's just going, you know, that's going to be what's really going to get people on board. And we have to have something in place for them. they, you know, they just, you know, the, as far as this government is concerned, and when they talk about solutions, they talking about putting a Band-Aid over a shotgun hole.
And that's not possible to do. And you know what? We're bleeding. I mean, we really are bleeding here, people. Again, we want to let everyone know if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear from you. So far, what we've come up with is that China, a communist country, is buying up cities, buying up states. They're buying the state of Iowa. They're buying. Oh, they're thinking about buying Ohio,
Pennsylvania.
And Michigan. They're buying those states up. We're talking about a communist country buying up states in America. And then if the states are where we're born under, then will we come up under communist regime? This is serious business, not to mention the dollar is collapsing and the country is collapsing right around our eyes. And for Israel, as we began to list, we've been telling you guys for months, almost a year, that it's time to become sovereign and come up under the nation of Yehuda or the United Nations of Israel, because after a while, we're not going to have a choice in the matter, because I didn't even know China was thinking about buying Ohio. Ohio!
Mm-hmm.
So then how, and that, you know what? Somebody told me that Obama was going to be the last president of the United States. If we have a communist country buying up states, a communist country is buying states.
Yep.
That's not normal.
Yep.
Something's got to be. This is serious business.
Yep. That's the bandage over the shotgun hole.
Man, that's not even no Band-Aid. That's pouring alcohol down in the hole right there for real. Because that's a communist. China is communist.
Yep.
Now you can understand how we can have military troops coming to America to rule over American people, because if they own it, they're going to run it.
That is correct.
That's like buying a house, and man, that's not possible. Oh, my goodness, something's got to be done.
Yeah. Well, the only alternative is to trust in the Almighty and start moving to put us on the map as a peoples. You understand? See, becoming a sovereign or independent means that we govern ourselves. That's what it means. You understand? As long as we are under these other peoples, we don't have no say so in what they do. You understand? They said, we going to war. I want to know which one of us was sitting at the table when we when they made that proclamation.
Democrats are reportedly at work right now.
Wow.
Hello, hello? Hello, hello?
I said people are not listening because things seem like it's normal that they're not really paying attention to what we're saying. They're not.
Well, you know, like I said, it's going to, you know, once it gets real, real rough, we have to have something in place because they're going to want to make some changes in their lives. You understand? But I've always said, why wait till the last minute? While we have the opportunity and we're not being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered, you understand, we need to try to do something about our existence and how we're going to sustain ourselves. So this march that's being set up and what you said, what you mentioned earlier about the conference that you went to, you understand, all of this is good so that we could come together and fix this situation that we're in. You understand? We cannot worry about anybody else at this particular juncture. After we start coming together and establishing ourselves, then we may want to branch out and start trying to do something for somebody else. But at this juncture, it's all about us. Malcolm X said this a long time ago. He said that we put them first, they put us last. And I want to add to that, if they put us in there at all, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Again, we want to let everyone know we have a lot of people on the call right now. A lot of people are called listening in. And if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We'll get you right on. But, I mean, we've come up to some very interesting information, some information that I didn't even know. And I knew that we had a deficit, and I knew that we were in trouble, but it seems like America is being sold out from under us. They're selling the states, and when they sell the states, guess what goes along with the states, everybody? The people of the state. You can't sell the state without selling the people. It's not possible. And this is serious. I mean, for real. This is serious, Brother Adonia. China is communist.
Yep. You understand? And we're gonna be we're gonna be Chinese slaves.
We can't be nobody else's slave now. That's not possible.
We're gonna be Chinese slaves. If we don't do nothing about ourselves, that's where we're gonna be at. You understand? And if you think that we went through hell with these folks, imagine being a Chinese slave.
Wow, it is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. And please, if you have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear what you have to say. What do you have to say about China owning your state? I mean, because you got
one other thing I wanted to bring. Do you realize how many people in Chinese are starving? On the poverty, living under poverty, more people than got money, for sure. You understand? And just imagine those same people that are in poverty is going to be ruling over us. Hallelujah.
Oh my goodness! And you know what? We already buying the product. Import export is what it is. But listen, Israel, we have come into this. This is some serious times that we're in. We know the 400-year prophecy will be up in 2019. The first slave hit here in 1619 in Virginia. The 400-year prophecy that was given to Abraham will be up in 2019. And according to that, that is when we are preparing to leave this country. For all of you all who don't know, we are not from here. We are descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. We have been born in the diaspora, and we are not from here. We are from the Middle East. So all the things are playing out according to the way the scripture says it is, And here we're sitting watching the America be bought up by China. It's unbelievable. Now I know that they have companies and that they've been allowed to do export-import, which is something that has been happening, but never have I ever heard of a communist country owning a state in America. So if they own the state, they own the people of the state.
Mm-mm-mm. That's
that
really
is some
sad.
Serious business right there. That's serious.
Yes, it is. We're in big trouble if we don't do nothing. If we don't do nothing, we are in big trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I just did not know. I didn't know. I just really didn't know, you know. And this is serious. You know, we have a lot of people on this line from all over the United States, and we just want to say, if you want to say anything, please push 1. If you have a question, you have a comment, if you just want to listen, that's fine, too. But, I mean, you know, this is how serious this is. And we've been talking about sovereignty and giving up your straw man. And for you all who don't know what that is, let me give you a little education really, really, really quick. Your straw man is a fictitious character that you were given when you were born, that they have set up a way for all of us, white, black people, everybody, to be in slavery again. You are not considered a flesh and blood human being. And everything that you do in commerce, in law, in everything comes to you in all capital letters. That means that you are a straw man. When a baby is born, they take the heel of the baby, and that is the baby's fingerprint. They put it on the birth certificate, and that signifies that that baby is bought into the straw man. On your birth certificate or on your Social Security card, you have some red letters. You have a letter and numbers that are at the bottom or on the back of your Social Security number. That number is traded on the stock market. From the time you are born, you are traded on the stock market, people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get you to understand that in order for you to be considered a flesh and blood entity, you have to become sovereign and become a sovereign citizen so that you can be convened as a flesh and blood person and take power of attorney over the straw man. These are the things that we're talking about when we talk about building a nation, coming together as a nation. We need to come together as a nation, building an entity, because if these other nations or countries are allowed to come in and buy up America, what do you think the collateral of America is? It's the people.
That is correct. That is correct. We are commodity like potatoes.
Yes, we are. And if they sell the state, they're selling the people. You will be owned by China.
Yep. So we need to step out of this here, man. We
it's
need to slap
up.
Ourselves in the face and come and try to figure out how we can get out this mess. You understand? And I think that when we get to this conference, we'll make some drastic changes.
This is some serious, 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 serious stuff right here. I mean, wow. I knew it was serious, but I didn't know how serious. And if they're expecting for the dollar to collapse in 2014 is going to be critical. And if they're allowing for these countries that we owe money to come and to buy up parts of the country, these countries that are communist are going to own you people. They're going to own you. They said by 2030, which I don't even think is going to take that long, that America will cease to be a superpower. We are on our way back to the Middle East. We are on our way back to the wilderness. And we are on our way back to Israel because that's where we're from.
That is correct.
This is serious business. I refuse to be owned by China. I just, let me see what this clip right here says. Let's play this real quick. Everybody listen real good. Hold on. Here we go. What happens here? And I just want you to pay very close attention to what they're about to say.
As the presidents began their first session, Mr. Obama assured Mr. Xi that the United States welcomes the peaceful rise of China as a world power.
and the United States seeks an international economy and international economic order.
Right here.
This is so serious. This scares me to no end.
Because warships from the East China Sea fleet of the PLA Navy have arrived in the Western Pacific Ocean to conduct maritime drills. The two warships, Foshan and Huaihua, are first and the second generation missile brigade. The exercise is their first blue water training drill. Earlier, the warships conducted a series of mock exercises during his voyage to the Western Pacific Ocean, a covert surveillance and tested nighttime capabilities.
When have we ever allowed China to come into United States waters to do testing and invasion tactics in our, on our own? Man, what's going on, Brother Donia? I mean, really seriously.
Well, this is those things are supposed to wake us up, you know, because, you know, we got to understand that we don't have any, we don't have any control over none of this stuff. We don't, you know, when they, you know, when they talk about the federal government and the government, we don't have no control in none of that. That ought to let us know, you understand, that we our destiny is in the hands of somebody else. We need to take our destiny in our own hands. You understand? I mean, 50 years ago, they came. They marched on Washington for the same thing that they marched on Washington this time. So how is that? How have we progressed? We contribute a trillion. Plus dollars to this society, and we don't have one company that supports our needs. We don't have that.
That's true.
You understand?
That's
you know, we have one half of 1% of the production companies in the United States of America, and we had that in 1937. So we haven't gone nowhere. You understand?
Well,
it's gotten...
I mean, but you know what? But that's the curse. I mean, you know, we know Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 down to 68 identifies us as being the Hebrew Israelite. It identifies us as being the people of Yah, the 12 tribes of Israel. And it does not identify those who now say they are the Jews. But the sad part about it is that we've gotten so comfortable over here that we're comfortable. This should shake everybody up, and I'm going to let everybody know, if you want to see this on your own without me, because I don't profess to have all the answers, but I don't profess to hide anything either, research it for yourself. This is on YouTube, and get a pen and a pencil. I'm going to give you a minute to get a pen and a pencil, because I want you to go on there, and I want you to be able to look at these clips and see that I'm not just picking stuff up out of nowhere. I'm showing you stuff that's been going on for a minute here. This is serious business, and the name of this particular clip says, Obama gave China permission to invade the United States. That's that one.
Mm.
And the one that we just saw, that we just listened to not too long ago, it says, Communist China purchases the United States, Idaho. They are purchasing our state.
And we've been here
for the debt that we're in.
Look here, we've been here
Man.
For 100 years or more, or less. We don't have that opportunity. We can't purchase no state, and we've been here. We don't run nothing in the United States at all. Period.
No.
You understand? And so it's not. So being that we cannot do that, it must not be set up for us to do that. It must be set up for us to make concessions on our own, build our own nation up, get industry on our own, in our name. You understand? Because these people is not gonna give us nothing. They're giving it to China. Well, they're giving it to China,
they
but they own.
Huh? They own.
They
already giving it to them because they own.
Yeah.
You know, China has. I think that China has a million man army.
Mm-hmm.
They have 1 million men in their army.
That is correct. That is correct. They are on. Look at, listen, Yaina, they owe us too.
Yes, sir.
Because they worked
yeah,
us
they
to. Huh?
I
Hello?
Say, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they owe us too. They owe us before they owe China. You understand? But they won't give us or even the opportunity to buy Detroit. You understand? Because, see, all of those nations have set up to not to allow us to become a nation again. That's what they
Psalms
did.
Psalms 83, and they conspire together in agreement that the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's Psalms 83. I mean, this is we're watching it in real time right here. And,
cool.
black people have been America's best kept little secret, and we were not supposed to go any further because America was designed to be the land of our captivity, and America has run its course. And 400 years is up, people, in 2019. So in 2019, all hell is supposed to break loose, and it looks like it's getting ready to happen.
That is correct. That is it's not far off. That's why it's so imperative that we try to start doing something, taking our destiny in our own hands under the name of the Almighty. You understand? You know, we have to do it all in the name of the Almighty. We got to dispense of all of those shady deals and all of that stuff. We can't have that. We have to do it in righteousness. You understand? And it's going to happen because the Creator said so. Whether we're in there or not. Whether you believe or not.
Yeah. It's definitely going to happen. I mean, this is real serious. We have at least 9 minutes left. If you guys want to have someone else call in, this is the time to do so. We're going to go into overtime, I'm sure. So we want you to call everybody that you know that can listen in to call in now because at 5:30 we're going to go into overtime and you will not be able to call in. we just wanted to let you know that this is a Hebrew Israelite program and that we believe that the black people that are in America are the actual Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. We prove it by the Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 to 68. It talks about who we are. It identifies us as the people. And we ask for those who are new on the line to go through and read that because it identifies us as the people of the book. We do not consider ourselves to be African American. We do not consider ourselves to be colored. We do not consider ourselves to be black. We are the Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. We are the 12 sons of Jacob or Yaakov in the scriptures, and this is what this program is to do, is to educate our people and get our people ready to go when it's time for us to go because we will be leaving this land. Scripture says that we will leave, and we will leave according to scripture. So we are not Christian. We, even though some of us believe in the Hamashiach, all of us don't. But one thing we do have in common is the bloodline, that we carry the bloodline of the 12 tribes of the sons of Yaakov, and that we believe and we know that the descendants of the we are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. We were born in the diaspora, and we are on our way back home, and that this land is not our land, but we have a land that is given to us, and that's the land of Canaan. So we wanted to let everybody know that are listening for the first time, we thank you for joining our program. And we are here every Sunday at 3:30, and from 3:30 until 5:30 or 6:30, depending on the topic. And we didn't really know what we were going to talk about today, but we've uncovered some things that shook the very core of where we thought we were because we found out that China is buying states. They're buying up states. A communist country is buying states. So if they buy the state, they buy the people of the state.
Yep, that is correct.
It's time to come together, people, as a nation. We've got to come together as a nation, a sovereign nation, separate and apart, because that's what we're going to be. We're going to be in a nation of foreign nationals. China is considered a foreign national, and if foreign nationals buy up states, this is serious business.
Yes, it is.
Woo! This is some serious stuff right here.
Yeah, I realized that we weren't supposed to see See, if we get locked into being a state, then we're never going back home. You understand?
You understand?
The reason why I say that is because we are people of that have a tendency to become complacent. And
yeah.
if we had a state, boy, we'll be complacent and we'll never go back home and we'll still be getting the treatment that we're getting, even if we own the state. We can't be sitting here. See, we are complacent and we don't have a darn thing.
Okay.
So imagine if we, it reads in the scriptures how the Almighty going to bring us back to the land. So if we had a place called Detroit or Cleveland or any place, you understand? Imagine how complacent that we'll be. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
We ain't going to do nothing. So we'll be in breach of the scripture. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's listen to this clip here. Question, comment, concern, please push one. Here we go.
Well, shortly after President Obama's State of the Union address, his administration freed 2,000 of the most dangerous illegal aliens in U.S. jails. And while lawmakers work to fix border security, one filmmaker says we won't find the answer in Washington. He went to the Mexican border to prove that. Watch.
We've got all units now. Everybody's lights on, everybody's blocked. He's pushing them. He is pushing them north.
Yeah. Joining us now is the director of They Come to America 2, Dennis Michael Lynch. Thanks all for joining us. So the immigration bill is consuming Washington right now, and the point, of course, is to legalize people who are here illegally. But before that happens, Republicans are saying we have to have border security. How far are we from achieving border security right now?
You know, if you read the bill and even the new amendment, okay, it's all the same. Paragraph 1 is very strong, and that's what the Gang of Eight gives you on television. But when you read paragraph 2, then all of a sudden, like, why are we even writing paragraph 1? So the measures that are in place really aren't serious measures. If I were the president of the United States, based on what I have seen coming through the border, and I've given you some proof before we came on, right, I would have the National Guard down there tomorrow. You just did a whole segment about how it is that the Chinese nationals are tapping into our computer systems every single day.
Yes.
Right. I just showed you Chinese passports being found in the desert in Texas. I've shown you the Chinese signs before. These people are infiltrating the country now
through the southern border.
Through the southern border and through visas. And we're having amendments put up that says over a 10-year plan. We don't have 10 years. We can't afford another 9/11 or another cyber 9/11.
Right.
Let me tell you what cyber 9/11 looks like. It makes 9/11 looked like a day at Disneyland, and I saw 9/11, Tucker, okay? It's scary. But the Chinese have the ability right now to come in and shut down our air traffic control system.
Yes.
They could shut down all the East Coast. Do you know what it would be like if this country went through something like that and the Chinese holds it ransom over us? This is, if we really cared about that sort of thing happening, we would put more energy in getting that border closed up. But we are in a period of time right now where the President of the United States and members of Congress care more about the welfare of illegal immigrants than they do the American citizens.
Well, I'd buy that. But couldn't the Chinese shut down or any foreign actor shut down, say, the air traffic control system, our banking system, from their homes across the ocean? I mean, they don't need to come here to do that, do they?
No, we've had situations before where Chinese nationals have gone to work for American companies, stolen data, and given it back to the Chinese. But listen, if you want to make an attack, you do it here,
right,
and you can do it from there. And in my film, you know, I show you the visuals that you need, that America needs to see, that what the Gang of Eight and President Obama is saying, it's just a bunch of baloney.
So the current suggestion, I just want to get your quick reaction to this. The current suggestion is we're going to spend $30 billion over 10 years to deploy another 40,000 Border Patrol agents to our southern border. Is that adequate? Listen, you could take $1 billion, $100 billion, $7 trillion. There is no will to stop these people. Money is not going to stop anything. Okay? There needs to be a will. And for some reason, this administration has no will to stop people coming in through our border and through our visa system. This new amendment that just came up, I haven't read the whole thing, but it allows you to overstay your visa with no problems whatsoever. Just stay. Keep on breaking the law. You're going to stay on your pathway to citizenship. This legislation is the worst document in my lifetime ever presented. If this passes, I promise you, Tucker, you will have me back here talking about how it is that we're going to actually save America. Because it will fundamentally change everything. We're going to have more people on the unemployment line than anybody's talking about. We're going to have a one-party system. You can't fly without chewing.
That is true.
Okay? And you know what? It's not what do you do with 11 million people.
Right.
It's what do you do with 30 million people. Can I just say, if people go to theycometoamerica.com and they order the DVD, I send them the four free ones. They send them out, and they're also funding me. I'm funded by the American people. I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, well, you hear what he said about that one? You hear what he said? I mean, the borders are open. They're letting people come in. It's going to be more people than it's going to be jobs. What are we going to do? I mean, it's time to Israel. It's time to stand up and come together because the United Nation of Israel and the Nation of Yehuda, we're putting together food banks. We're putting together seeds that are not genetically modified. We're getting all of these things in place so that we can have a food co-op so that we'll be able to get food in a minute because it's getting ready to get real bad. It's not going to stay like it is right now. Brother Donia, if you have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. We have a lot of people on the line from all over the country, and we just want you to know we thank you for coming on the show today. But, Brother Donia, what you say about that? I mean, they're even in the borders of Texas. They're coming. They're invading. You know why they're invading? Because their country owns the state.
Yep. The reason why the way I see it is that the America is on its way out. Wherever all of these countries that align themselves with America is going to perish. And this stuff has to go down like it's going down. But we don't have to go down with it. If we gather ourselves like the Almighty speaks through Jeconiah, He will hide us in this day of great calamity. We don't have long, but the Almighty will give us the time that we need. Throughout all our history, we've always been able to climb out this hole that we dug ourselves. You understand? So we got to understand that this America is going down, and we just don't have to go down with it. All of that, like I said, that money that we put back, and we're going to be getting a pennies on a dollar for our money. You understand? You might have $200,000 worth of savings, you understand, or investments into that company. So you wind up with $50,000 because you're only going to get pennies on the dollar because the debt that we owe China is well beyond what the United States can pay back. You understand? So they have to do something with those Chinese. They have to allow them to do something. You understand? They can't speak above a whisper to them Chinese because they'll call that debt in, and then where will they be at? And trust me, those people that set this all up, you understand, they expect it to go on forever. They're going to get paid for their atrocities. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is serious, everybody. You know, there was a lot of people on a conference call earlier today. They're putting together a solvency program for us to be able to become sovereign citizens. So that we will be able to continue to move and function as children of Israel, of the 12 tribes of Yaakov, because, you know, we were born into a system here in the United States of America. But as we heard earlier with some of the other clips, that America is not supposed to be a superpower. After 2030, they're expecting for America to be whatever it's going to be. I don't know what it'll be, but it will not be considered a superpower anymore. And that's pretty serious. I mean,
it's a good thing for us because we know where we're headed. You know, the church is spinning the story that they getting ready to rapture away and everybody going to rapture and fly in the sky, but we know that's not true. We're headed to the wilderness, and that's where we're going. And everybody who don't understand that, you know, we want everybody to understand that we're here to give information so that you know where what's happening and what's about to happen, and we're trying to get everything prepared for ourselves and our children and our generation that's coming after us, because it doesn't look good right now. And that I heard someone say that President Obama would be the last president of the United States. And if that's true, you know, and China owns Ohio, and China owns Michigan, and China owns Philadelphia, and China owns California, then where does that leave us? I mean, really, as people, they're going to own the people of the state.
That is correct. Absolutely. And if we don't do nothing, we gonna be the next Chinese slaves. it's so sad that it's funny.
This is serious. It is. It really is.
Man, I'm telling you.
It's sad.
You know what makes it sad is that we got an opportunity to get out this mess.
Yes, sir.
That's what makes it so sad. You understand that we can see the train coming and still stand in the way. I just don't get that move.
Me either. Yes, sir. And you know what? We got to get it together, people. We got to come together again. The March, November 1st, 2013, we will be in Washington, D.C. We will be marching through the streets of Pennsylvania Avenue. We will be on the grounds of the Capitol building. We will be informing the people that are with us who they are and what's going on and what the plan is, because the Bible is sure. The prophecies are sure, and they are coming to pass right before our eyes, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. I mean, it's so serious that I read an article, and you're not going to believe this one. I read an article where Louis Farrakhan, and I got to find it. Here it goes, right here. I meant to read it to you earlier today. I read an article where Louis Farrakhan is introducing his people to Scientology.
Oh, boy. Mm-mm-mm.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You know,
Scientology.
We still latching on to all of those things to keep the chains whipped and beaten off of us. You understand? That's what we're still doing. You understand? Because that's not valid. That's not a valid thing to do.
Well, I'm just telling you, it says over 4,000 members of the Nation of Islam are currently on a course with the Church of Scientology, including hundreds studying to be a projected 1,000 fully certified Church of Scientology auditors above. They're going to school to learn Scientology and Dianetics, supposedly to clear your mind. I mean, you know, and
I think Farrakhan and them is Jonas, because just a couple of years ago, he was talking about the Israel.
Yeah, he was, and that wasn't. He really was. Yes. He was saying that.
Seems to me
point.
That they're kind of opportunistic.
Mm-mm. But you think about the one world government, there's going to be a one world religion, and there's going to be a one world bank. And that's how it's going to play out, people. It's going to be a one world banking system, and it's going to be a one world government, and it's going to be a one world religion.
If you go on my website, on my Facebook page, you'll see some stuff up there and letting you know. Jack Otto, you need to hear his lecture. You understand? Benjamin Friedman, you understand? You should hear his lecture. It lets you know who those people are that's setting up all of this stuff. The One World Order, the Rothschilds and all of those folks, those are the people that's setting all of this stuff in place. But see, what they don't know is that they think they running stuff. They don't understand that the Almighty just put them people in place for a particular reason. You understand? So they think that they running stuff, but they're not.
They're not. Nope. It's going to be what it's going to be, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. You know,
is-
they're moving toward a one world bank, and I want you to hear what Ron Paul has to say about that, and then we're going to add open. Here we go. We're going to see what everybody is talking about in terms of how we're going to get out of this mess because, you know, everybody has their money set up in the banking system. They really do. Check it out. Here we go. And we'll see. We'll ask. We'll open up the line.
Thank you so much. Let me go to Ron Paul now. He's the congressman from Texas. Congressman, at the, you know, I draw this spider web up here. And I see it, and I think to myself, at the center of this really is the Fed. They are, they're in this thing all the way around. And yet, if you want to talk about powerful people, you've got a majority of congressmen that are willing to say, we need to open up the books of the Fed. You can't even get this thing brought to the floor now. Why is that?
Well, so far we haven't been able to. We have 273, which includes almost 90 Democrats, so the large majority of the congressmen want it. They don't want it because they really understand the issue and they're not motivated by philosophy as much as the fact that this has struck a chord with the American people, and the American people are demanding more transparency. So I think this is very good. Now, I think we had the first demonstration last week when Jim DeMint tried to bring it up in the Senate. Even though he was doing exactly what they had done four times on that same bill, they ruled him out of order and said, well, you're not following the rules. That means the information is coming up from above and on down. That means from the administration and leadership, both Republicans and Democrats.
So who's blocking it? Can you name names? Who's blocking it?
Well, I don't know the individual, but I would know one thing. If Obama wanted change and change in the system, at least exposure, he could do something. But, you know, he got nearly $1 million from Goldman Sachs. So we don't expect anything from the administration, the same people. You know, this to me is a perfect example of my argument that I've made, and I think you generally agree with it. There's not a whole lot of difference between the two parties.
No.
You know, they're owned by the same people. You take this Goldman Sachs issue. Wouldn't it be revealing if we were able to get the transcripts and all the agreements and discussion that all Treasury and all Federal Reserve officials have had with Goldman Sachs? I mean, that would be a revelation. But, boy, they're hysterical when they think we're coming down close saying that we might be able to open up the books. I got some information the other day that during another crisis in Central America, the banks were in trouble. And our Fed went to the IMF and told the IMF to pay the interest to the banks. I mean, that's how corrupt it is. And the whole thing is as this system continues to falter, they're not going to give up. They're going to move all these shenanigans over to the IMF. They're going to have a world organization. So the powerful elite then will have a world currency. That's what they're being planning for right now. So we as a people really have to wake up. My effort is exposing the Fed, opening up the books. The American people want it, and we have both Republicans and Democrats demanding it. But you made the right point. How are we going to get the leadership to do what the American people are demanding?
How much time do we have, Ron? Do we have to wake up?
That is hard to say. Timing is really tough in Austrian economics. We know what the inevitable outcome will be. But I would guess it's just a few more years. I would think the handwriting will be clearly on the wall before Obama finishes his first term, which means the next shoe is the crisis in the dollar, the value of the dollar, not just the financial system.
Okay.
We will see high inflation rates soon.
Okay. Congressman Ron Paul, thank you very much, sir.
Speaking of the Fed, check this out. This is a videotape of Florida Congressman Alan Grayson grilling the Federal Reserve Inspector General. This is the one that is tracking trillions of dollars of your taxpayer money. This video is going to make blood shoot right out of your eyes. Watch this.
I'm asking you if your agency has, in fact, according to Bloomberg, extended $9 trillion in credit, which, by the way, works out to $30,000 for every single man, woman, and child in this country. I'd like to know, if you're not responsible for investigating that, who is?
We have responsibility for
the Federal Reserve's programs and operations, audits, to conduct audits and investigations in that area. In terms of who's responsible for investigating, would you mind repeating the question one more time?
What have you done to investigate the off-balance sheet transactions conducted by the Federal Reserve, which, according to Bloomberg, now total $9 trillion in the last 8 months?
I'll have to look specifically at that Bloomberg article. I don't know if I have actually seen that particular one.
So are you telling me that nobody at the Federal Reserve is keeping track on a regular basis of the losses that it incurs on what is now a $2 trillion portfolio?
I don't know if you're telling me that you're mentioning that there's losses. I'm just saying that we're not, until we actually look at the program and have the information, we are not in a position to say whether there are losses or to respond in any other way to that.
Coming up.
Wow. All right. What do you say about that, Brother Donnie? I mean, you know, when a lot of people don't realize that the Reserve and the IRS is not federal. There's nothing. They do not belong to the government. Those are owned by the Ashkenazi Jews who own the financial system. That is not owned by the government. The Jews loaned us, the fake Jews loaned us the money, and now they want the money. They want their money back, and in turn, America borrows money from China, and it's just a robbing Peter to pay Paul. But the Federal Reserve loans the money, and the IRS is the collection agency for the fake Jew. That's exactly what's going on here.
That is correct. You understand? And if you notice, you understand, she's passing the buck. You understand? When she said that she don't know and this and that and the other, you mean to tell me nobody's held accountable or nobody could come up with find out what the problem is? You understand? It's because they don't have nothing to come up through. They don't have nothing is set up. Everything is throughout the existence of this society. They've been taken and taken and taken. You understand? And have not never been asked, well, where the money going? Or how did that happen? Nobody has never asked that. Now these problems and situations have come up because things are falling apart. Now people want to know what the problem is and how come there ain't no solution set up for this. I've tried to figure out this here. How does one particular portion of government shut down everything? I just don't get that. How can you not see that shutting down everything will hurt the masses of the people? And why would you want to do that anyway? I just don't get it.
Yeah, and then you know what the thing is with the one world currency? Nobody knows what that currency is. And they're going to
They say it's going to be the euro.
I don't know.
But the euro is having problems. The euro is having problems. That's the conglomeration of Europeans, European Spanish money. I think that's what it is.
So then we wonder how much of American dollars, since it's not worth anything, is it going to cost to buy 1 euro? Because when we lived in England, you had to pay so many of American dollars just to get 1 British dollar. So the wealth that people have already stored up in American dollars ain't going to be worth toilet paper.
That is correct. That's what I said. Pennies on a dollar.
Crucial. Woo, that's crucial.
But see, did you? I want to know also. Did we expect anything different to happen? This society was built up on corruption and cruel stuff, and at some point, this had to happen. You can't continuously treat people like excrement and then it'd be all right. At some point, man, we're going to wake up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. I agree 100%. But then here we go. I mean, you know, all of these things with John in unison. And like I said, Israel, we've been hollering, let's come together as a nation. Let's come together as a nation. Let's come together as a nation. We ain't going to have no choice now because if China is buying states, and they're selling them. They're selling, allowing a communist country to come on soil and buy the states. The states come. What comes along with the states is the people of the states.
That is correct. That is correct. We cannot let that happen to Israel. We cannot let no other nation govern us at all. Period. You understand what I'm saying? We got to be the ones that run take our destiny in our own hands, good or bad. If it don't work out, we tried. That's where we got to look at it. But I trust in the Almighty, and he ain't going to let us fail. Hallelujah. He didn't bring us here this far, you understand, for us to fail. He brought us here so that he can get the glory from the earth. That's where he brought us. He brought us here so that, you understand, that we can come up and we can feel good about coming up, too. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is probably the will of the Almighty that this is happening, too, to force us into a position where we have no choice to do what we need to do, because it will go against prophecy, because nobody else is supposed to be able to use us as a slave.
That
nobody
is correct.
Nobody else is. You know? Critical.
You are absolutely right.
This is critical. I mean, and not just for black people, white people alike, because a lot of people don't even know this. I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had no idea.
Yep.
You know, and the other countries are abandoning the U.S. dollar. They don't even want to deal with it no more. People don't even want to deal with the U.S. dollar anymore. It's not
backed by anything. It used to be backed by silver and gold. But it don't have any, you know, them Jews done took all them that silver and gold out of here. You understand? It's not backed by a thing. You understand? The Federal Reserve, like you had said, that they're not part of the United States. That's a separate entity, and we borrow money for them. And all they, you know what they did? They lent us money, charged us at the highest interest. Well, I say us. I hate to use us because I don't get none of that money. You understand? But they lent the United States money. You understand? Charge us at the highest interest, and then take money out of the society because you understand? And so that creates a deficit. That creates where we don't have enough money in the society to even pay the bills.
That's a deficit. That is called a deficit. You're absolutely right. And we're at the end of this thing, and we can see we're at the end of this thing because things are happening around us politically that Israel is not paying attention to, and we need to start paying attention because I don't want to have to one day wake up and then have to get a Chinese ID to be able to leave the state that I'm in. You know what I'm saying? Because eventually they're going, which I don't think that would probably happen. They're probably doing that so that they can rake the money in that the state is bringing in from the people itself. So, I mean, you know, all of it is just unbelievable. It is prophetically said, and we have to do what we need to do to make sure, you know, that we keep ourselves close to the word and to each other so that we'll be able to eat at the end of the day. And all of this is bringing into light the things that we've been saying to you for the longest, that it's time to come together as a nation. It's time to come together as a nation and become foreign nationals just like they are, representing ourselves as a nation of people and still functioning in the capacity that we're functioning in because they are. They're coming over here as foreign nationals, buying city streets, buying companies, and buying up states in America. And this is some serious stuff right here. So we have to pay attention. Anybody have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. We also want to make an announcement. We do need our $400 donation. We'd like for you all, if you could, to go to www.noyuny2013march.com and someone donate that for us because we're on our way to Washington. A lot of people have been donating money, and we just want to say thank you. We appreciate it. If you don't want to send it through PayPal, email me at Yaina Yisrael, and that's spelled Y is in yellow, A is in apple, H is in Harry, EENAYISRAEL @gmail.com. And I'll give you an address where you can actually send me actual funds. We appreciate everybody that's donated money to help us get to this thing. We hope that everybody on this line make an effort to try to be there. You know, it can be a one-day affair, a two-day affair, or a three-day affair. But we really want you to be there November 1st and stand with us as a nation. It's time to come together, people. It's time to come together as a nation. I don't know how else to say it. this is getting really serious and we need to do something. Brother Donia, you have any last comments?
I just want to let everybody know that feel free to come on with your opinions the next time that we come on, the station is on, you understand, so that we can get some opinions and some things that we need to talk about this. We need to get ourselves together. We need to come up with a solution here, you understand? If this is not the solution, then I want to hear from somebody else to tell me what the solution is. Prayer just, if we're just talking about sitting around just praying, that is significant, but it's not all that we need to do. The Almighty said that we bring him lip service, you understand? And he also said, he gave, through the mouth of Zephaniah, he said, he let us know what he was going to do in the first chapter. And the second chapter, first verse, he commanded us to come together as a nation so that we may be hidden in the day of his great wrath. So if we don't do that, we're in breach of the commandment of the Almighty. We have differences of scripture, but that's one thing that we can agree on, to come together. Hallelujah. And I love all of you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he said, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there we go.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Go ahead and say it, Brother Donia. We need to hear it.
I love all of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't forget to march. We are waiting. We're marching forward. We got people coming from all over. Israel is beginning to understand the importance of love. It's beginning to understand the importance of unity. It's beginning to understand the importance of bloodline. And it's time for us to stand together in one body and one voice and let them know that we know who we are, we know they know who we are, and we're standing up for what we believe in, and we're going to make concessions for our people. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. See you later.
Shalom.
Mixtape supplier, DJ At Low.
It's in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Try to keep from trouble, living too fast, trying to make good on a hustle, sometimes it get rough,
coming from where I'm from,
times got hard,
coming from where I'm from,
times it got walk to work,
coming from where I'm from,
sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime, looking kind of lovely. Didn't know she had much change. Down to ride out, even take the train. Even took her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Try to be your friend. Turned out that you were shady. Sometimes I get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Don't think what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get a little angry. Somebody didn't want to die young.
in the building.
Coming from where I'm from, And that's what we're talking about, Israel. It's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It's time for us to love one another. It's time for us to join together in unison. And guess what? Most of all, bloodline is stronger than anything. We'll see you next week. We hope to see you in Washington, D.C., November the 1st. We're looking forward when we turn that corner and behind the National Gallery of Arts, we expect to see at least 10,000 people standing with us ready to march through the streets of Washington, D.C. And for all the information you need, www.NOY for Nation of Yehuda, UNY for United Nation of Israel, 2013march.com, www.NOYUNY2013march.com. Go online, register, get your discount for your hotel rooms, but most of all, donate as much as you can because we need all the help we can get. We love you, Israel. We'll see you next week. Shalom, shalom, everybody. I enjoyed the show. See you later.